Yes. So after giving you a little bit on gardening, we can now turn to the Word of God. I have decided this year to do something a little different. Now, I am hoping to follow in with what we decide to preach in each church, but some of you will know that I travel around, so if people have different themes at different churches, I've got to prepare a lot of different stuff. But what I have decided is this, because I like studying and the Word of God and theology and whatever, I have realized something. See, this Christmas, I got a gadget. Anybody else got a gadget? And basically, when you open a gadget or something that you're going to use, it says this, and this I think this was God speaking to me. You can have to wait. But I opened up the pack, and it says, the full user manual. And then falling out of that, it said, the easy setup version. Right now, I think, you see, I've had some comments, mainly positive, but I'll get on to the 18 to 30 negatives in a minute. That basically, sometimes I start something and then I don't always have the time to complete it. So I know that because I usually prepare a full user manual. But I have decided to try to go with the easy setup version. That's no reflection on your educational abilities or theological standing, but I'm going to try to do that. So you'll need to pray for me because this will be very hard. All right? And I'm not sure I'll get there. But obviously, I've had some comments like that. Well, you never seem to be able to finish what you want. And then I get the 18 to 30s who go to their meeting. And because my daughter leads that, they make comments like, oh, he was long, wasn't he? Now, originally, I was very hurt. Very, very hurt by that. You don't imagine, you know. I sound like Donald Trump, don't I? I was very, very hurt. Until I realized that basically that generation, because they're Nintendo and PS4, they can only do a 10-minute stage at a time. So I'm trying to help them a little bit as well, all right, to stay focused for at least 20 minutes or half an hour. But we love you all, and we pray for God's help. Now, Daryl asked me to continue the theme of Closer. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have not listened to a word that he said. Now you might... That's not true. That's not true. It's at least 2 years ago. No, but I didn't do that deliberately. Sometimes it's quite hard to listen to all the pastor's words in between mine. But I felt, I know, that I'm sure he shared something from his heart about drawing closer to God. But I wanted to come at it from a point that I believe hopefully will help us to see why we can get near to God, because not everybody's near to God. The other thing is this, that when you come into meetings like ours sometimes, or you may go to some other meetings, and somebody's speaking about the Holy Spirit, and people go out at the end and get prayed for and all that, and you might think, I don't know what's happening down there. What's that about? How does that connect with the Bible? How is it? You get my point? Because we need to realize on a Sunday morning, there are all different levels of people. There are people who've just walked in, yeah, and in Rachel, just welcome you this morning. Yeah, they've just walked in. And there are others, like Tim Porter, who's been here since the Ark. And praise God. And I've got to try and balance between those two levels, you know, the newcomers and those who don't know much about it. So I said to God, well, please help me to do the easy setup version and try and get through it all. Now, I've only got 4 pages. And an easy setup version is only one piece of A4. All right, so you can see the problem I'm having. But I want to say to you this morning that I do believe it's absolutely vital that we try to bring understanding to people from the full picture of the Bible, not just one little part of it. So one little part might hear one speaker, and he's talking about the devotional, you know, a person's personal walk with God. But if you're not there or you haven't got that established yet, it might not be relevant at that point. So there's things that we might say, and we always ask God to help us, that will be relevant, and things that might not be so relevant. What I feel God's put on my heart is this, to try in our churches to give people a more of a panorama of the things that we believe. So you know it's not just something we're just focusing on from one bit of scripture, but we're showing you the purpose of God. Yeah? The purpose of God. So here we go. I'm going to read, what time is it? Well, quarter past, isn't it? Quarter past. Yeah, quarter past. No, I've got to get new. I've got to get good. I've got to try and do my best. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 7, and I'm going to read some verses there. When you got there, John chapter 7, and verse 37, Jesus says this: on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," or his innermost being, or authorized version, his belly, "will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now that's a fantastic passage in itself. But what I wanted to do today, and this is where I need your help. I'm serious. I need six people to come and help me. Well, we'll go on to point two then. Okay, so Rachel's one. Yeah, come on. Yeah, the ladies are so eager. Come on, Roger. Well done, mate. Right, so because you came first, who else we got? Yeah, come on, six people. One, two, three, four. I want somebody else. Thank you, brother. That's good. Right, so you look a bit, yeah. So you can come up here. You can come up here. You can come up here, all right? Right. And we'll have you next to him because you look similar. Okay? And we'll have Nathan up here to make it look a bit international, all right? Okay. And hold with me now. I'm getting somewhere. Okay. So you noticed these are higher than these. You got that point? These are higher than... That is because this is... No. You need to come over here. This is the Father, this is the Son, and this is the Holy Spirit. And this is mankind, or man. Yeah? God made man. Say amen if you agree with me. According to the Bible, God made man. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you can look at yourself, he made in each man body. No, wrong place. Yeah. You come there. That's right. That's probably better in my thinking anyway. He made spirit, soul, body. Is that right? So that means this, what we call a tripartite man, all right? Made up of, as we have, a tripartite God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You got that? Is that easy setup so far? Anybody not get that? Go to the Baptist, brother. Oh, I'm joking. I'm joking. Anyway, here we go. So God made man. Is that right? And he made man in his own image. The image of God made he him. And he took him from the dust of the earth and he breathed into him and made him a living soul, a spiritual being. So he had, above all other animals, a capacity for spiritual connection with God. Yeah? And he gave him a soul in the middle, which both connected to spirit, hold hands please, and connected to his body, right? And so that's how God made him. But the purpose God did that is simply this, that he could, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he could allow, yeah, move that out of the way, that's okay. He could receive as a man into his spirit everything of God. Now, this was what we call before the fall, before sin spoiled everything. And so he came, man was created, and God made him Eve, because it means the same thing, really. And man was made, and he was connected to God. And of course, the Son, the Spirit is connected to the Son, and the Son, the Father. Yeah? You get the picture? So there was to be, in God's mind, uninterrupted fellowship via the Holy Spirit into the spirit of man, that he could have uninterrupted knowledge and fellowship and experience of all that God is. All that God is. Right? Now, you okay, fella? You okay? Okay, all right. But we know something happened. We know in his own self-will, man decided he no longer wanted to obey God. He wanted to actually go his own way. It's clear in the Bible, isn't it? He sinned. He disobeyed. He said, you've made me a free will agent, so I'm going to choose to disobey you. But he didn't really, I don't believe, understand the consequences of that. Let me try and explain to you simply. Okay, the moment this man disobeyed, he was cut off from the Holy Spirit. From that moment on, the spirit of man, right, now you're going to have to do a bit of drama, now you're going to have to do a bit of, right? The spirit of man, the Bible says, became dead to God. Right? Became dead to God. And so from that point on, the spirit that was the master, which communicated through the soul, the emotions, personality of a human being, and brought that then to the body so that they all did the will of God, that was broken. And from that moment on, the Bible says that person's spirit is dead to God. So the Bible says, dying you will die. Because basically, without access to God and access to the tree of life, this person that was meant to live forever would begin to physically die. Because they'd already, in one moment, spiritually died. So what happens is, and this is what happens, you see, this is what happened to me and happened to you, because we are children of Adam, is that right? Yeah? I like to blame him for all that's wrong in my life, but the trouble is, I went and jumped over the fence myself. Yeah? And I have to agree with the Bible that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, what happened is, the moment the spirit died, there's a disconnect. So, whereas the soul turned to the spirit, and the spirit received its life and its fellowship and its direction and its purpose from God, what he intended, no longer can that happen. So, the soul turns now to the body, because it's living in a physical earth where there's five senses, yeah? You know what I mean, yeah? And it turns to the, but the trouble is now this nature, this soul, this body is living in a fallen environment. It's called sin. And what you've seen and what you see every day around you and on your telly is that same thing, showing that we are sons and daughters of Adam. That the sinful nature has absolutely spoiled all that God wanted to do for us. So now this soul gets affected by the lusts and the desires of a fallen nature, of a humanity that no longer connects to God. That's what I was like before I gave my life to Jesus, before I understood what he did. That's what many of you were like. But the good news is this: God had a plan. Yeah? And quite simply, that plan didn't begin with the Holy Spirit. Well, it did in some ways, but I haven't got time to tell you that. He said to his son, "Who will go for us?" And he said, "Here, my father, I'll go." And so the son came at what we celebrate as Christmas. And the first thing the angel said was, he's come to rectify what went wrong. He will save his people from their sins. See, the problem today, folks, is this. People, we've made sin respectable. But sin stops us having a relationship with God. And so Jesus came. Do you know what? He came between God and man, right? And the first thing he did was, right, he came as a man. So this man in their fallen condition was spiritually dead. Jesus came with a promise. Right? Whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. That there was going to be a restoring, a rectifying of what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls him the last or the second Adam. Yeah? So he's the second Adam, and he comes, and the first thing he does is shows us that he's come for mankind. So I don't know how you'll do this, but we'll connect you again. Even though the spirit is dead, you can turn again. And right. So in that sense of mankind, Jesus becomes one of us. Do you get this? Yeah. And what happens is he lives a life that shows mankind again, that God's intention was for a man to live without sin. So the Bible says and records of him, he who knew no sin, right? Bible says he was separate from sinners, that he was completely different from us, but became one of us. But why did he come? He came for one purpose only. And the only way I can describe that is he hung on the cross. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what he did for us actually would undo what Adam did. Yeah? And then he died because the wages of sin is death. And all have sinned, Romans 6:23, and have fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us know we're going to die. It's the greatest stimulant to us to say, why are we here? How long have I got? Is there anything after? And Jesus came to die. And he shed his blood to fulfill the Old Testament plan of God. He gave himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then 3 days later, after they took him down from the cross, you know what? They put him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, and to prove that he was sinless, to prove he was separate from sinners, death can only hold where there's sin. But he did not sin. So 3 days afterwards, you know, you can put your hands right up in the air. He rose from the dead. And the moment, the Bible says, I believe that what he did, look at John 5:24, you'll see it there if you've got your Bible. The moment I believe what he did was not for him, but was for me, something happens. Something happens. Jesus called it in John 3, being born again. Right? Because you have to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. A natural and a spiritual birth. And at that moment, a person believes a spiritual birth takes place. Now, here's what happens. The moment you believe, Jesus does something by the Holy Spirit. First of all, It says in Colossians 2 that he does something that's called the circumcision without hands. Now, you see, to understand circumcision, you've got to go back to Abraham. And God made a covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a sign to tell everybody. Bit of an awkward sign. And he says, I'm going to be circumcised. That meant that a part of the flesh was to be cut off. Get the idea? And cast away. But Paul says, you, man, were actually dead. Your spirit was dead. But the moment you believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, that you actually can know God, the moment that happens, a circumcision takes place. Again, the spirit comes alive. Right? The spirit comes alive. And when the spirit comes alive, this soul and body that has been given over to the old sinful nature now can take hold again. So everything of that person now can become like Jesus. Because he didn't sin. The trouble is, we are living today, and it's still the same in me and it's in you, that I've got two natures, because I've got this old sinful nature, yeah? And I've got this new nature that God has put in me, and I'm alive to God by the Holy Spirit, and my soul's in between. And that's why Paul says in Romans, sometimes, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do, because there's a battle going on in you and in me all the time if we're believers. But if you're not a believer, this is where you start. You start by God doing a circumcision. Thank God, not physically. But what God does is a circumcision without hands. He cuts the flesh. We control the soul all this time. He cuts the flesh off. The old sinful man and the new man, yeah, can begin to be master again. And affect the soul and the emotions and the choices and the life. And then the body has to be told what to do, because it's the servant now, not the master. You get that? Okay with that? Anybody theologically disagree? But you see, this is why we need to understand what happened in the beginning. Because Jesus, back to Jesus now. He's got all these disciples, all these men and women who have now trusted in him. And you know what he says to them? He says, before I go back to heaven, I'm telling you, you've got to wait in Jerusalem. Because when I go back, you can go back now, right? He said, I'm going back. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So just as Adam had before, right? I can connect again to the spiritual part of mankind. And I am alive as a believer. And I know God. And I feel the Holy Spirit's power. And I know that he changes me. And as he changes me and his power fills me, then it affects my soul, because I'm no longer melancholic and hopeless, because I've got hope because of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. Romans 5 says he's poured into my heart. And my whole life is changed and affected. And then my body, which was on drugs or booze or whatever, to try and find some help in this world without God and in this darkness and in this deadness, suddenly my body begins to want to respond to what my soul is being affected by, because my spirit is now receiving everything again that the Holy Spirit originally had with Adam. Uninterrupted, unbroken fellowship with God. Thank you. Didn't they do good? Give them a round of applause. Thank you. Bless you, mate.
Does that mean I can only do what Roger tells me?
No. Okay. Now, that's the easy setup version. That's why, friends, I want to just say to you this morning, we're living in a generation that don't want to call sin, sin. We don't want to call things that God calls them anymore. We change their name. Billy Graham said this. He said, we have learned even in the church to make sin respectable. Yeah? So there's things that we actually do, still do as Christians. Envy, pride, sexual window shopping, gossip, domestic strife. Or you go on with the list. The Bible just says there's sin. In our world, we're living in what a mess. How can one man rape 150 other men? We look all around us and we look at our kids and we think, what world are they growing up with? What model can we give them to follow? What can we show to them? Well, there's a PowerPoint that's not mine. I haven't got a black Peugeot. If you could put my PowerPoint up, John, Jonathan. No, that's not it either. Right. You see, if I want to draw closer to God, I've got to first and foremost understand what has separated me from God. Can't get closer to God unless every person understands what separates us from God. And so we've just looked at that illustration. But listen to what it says up here. See, I don't want to take sin trivially because it costs Jesus everything. And you know, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. So one theologian said this, the hope for sinners is that between us and the wrath of God stands the cross of Jesus Christ. See, we, as being made in God's image, have a sense of justice until it comes to us. You notice that? See, somebody nicks your bike, you want to catch them. I'll sort them out, nicking my bike, right? Because it's wrong to steal. Is that right? The problem is, when God applies that same principle to you and me, because we've all done things wrong, you might not have stolen the bike, but there's 10 commandments that God says are the cardinal things that are set before mankind. And you only need to break one to deserve God's judgment. And God's judgment is eternity without him. There is a real heaven, there is a real hell. And so, the hope for sinners is that between us and the wrath of God stands the cross of Jesus Christ. Lovely little line, I think it's from a poem. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my stricken heart, with tears to wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. See, that's what brought me to realize I needed God and his answer in Jesus Christ, because simply I knew I was guilty. I knew I was evil. I'm not going to list off all the things I did, but Paul rightly says you don't do them anymore because you're ashamed of them. You're ashamed of them. But the fact that in my unworthiness, God should love me, for God so loved the world. Put your name in there. For God so loved Paul Randerson. but he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, what's this got to do with getting closer to God? Well, when I realize to come close to God, it's sin that separates me from him. And Jesus has dealt with sin. But I'm still not perfect. That doesn't matter. That once you receive Jesus, that new nature is born. That spirit that was dead becomes alive, you remember? And so now that old sinful nature still there with that new nature inside of me. And I have to choose now. See, I found something I wrote down many years ago and I want to read it to you, because then it was amazing and it's still amazing today, because Paul says in Philippians 2, now I want you to obey, not just because I'm there, but when I'm not. And you're doing that. He said, because you realize it's God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Right? I remember writing this down many years ago. I find it hard to say. It's a prayer I prayed. God, I pray the impossible challenge of living the Christian life. How can I do it except for the truth that you have enabled me to be connected to the irresistible power of God to accomplish it by the Holy Spirit in my life? Right? See, once I realize that, once I realize that that new man has all the power of God available to him, I can keep that old man and reckon him to be dead. Oh, it's still there. And you look, see, I don't believe you. Any Christian is going to grow unless they read Romans 6-8 and understand it. But I also realize the Bible says, greater is he that is within me. I also realize that it's not my power. But Ephesians 3:20 says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works within me. If you're not a Christian this morning, I want to say, if you know what separates you from God and you confess you're a sinner and that Jesus has cleansed your sins, and that you just need to believe what he's done for you. Only the Holy Spirit can do this in a person. But if you, knowing that's you this morning, you say, I want my sins forgiven, I want to tell you, the moment you do, the Bible says you are born again of God's Spirit. That you're not under that old nature anymore. There's a circumcision. There's a cutting off of that old life and old nature. And that new nature comes. Now, closing. So you see why Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So 120 of them go into a room, more likely a room in the temple in Jerusalem. And it says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost fully came, the Holy Spirit came on 120 of them. And there was a sign. He said they all spoke a language. We call it speaking with tongues. It was the sign that God would fill them and was filling them with the Holy Spirit. And we know from that time onwards, people were transformed. See, that's why I'm absolutely confident. We've just got a gypsy young fella got saved at Swaffham. It's unbelievable. The gypsy sight can't believe the change in him. 2 months ago, he was selling drugs and taking them himself. In 1 week, God set him free. See, this stuff don't take forever. The working out of that new man takes time. But the cutting off of what's evil happens the moment you believe. You don't have to be bound up, as I was, with evil spirits of violence and anger. Immediately, God cuts it away and connects you to the Spirit of God. And those disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul was transformed and teaches in his epistles, hey, listen, the way to live this Christian life is not go to church and sing lots of songs. It's wherever you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's to live a life that's in connection to Jesus who has saved you and be filled with the Holy Spirit that he's given to you. And as you do that, new attributes, according to Galatians 5, not the works of the flesh anymore will be controlling your life. You can read them in Galatians 5 from verse 19. But what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so it goes on. With these things that change your life. And that God's power will fill you every day. And remember, that's the message Jesus told us to go and preach. Repent, because it's possible for your sins to be forgiven. Be baptized in water and show that you are following Jesus. He, poof, dead, came out alive. You, sinner, vroom, died with Christ, come out alive. Repent and be baptized. But what's the purpose? The purpose is back to Genesis, to connect a man who's dead in sin back to God. Back to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, repent, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. So I'm Pentecostal, not just because we are happy clappies. I'm Pentecostal because Pentecost is what it's all about. It's about telling people, hey, listen, God's dealt with sin, but you've got to see it as an issue. Because if you trivialize it and don't think it's important, you'll never know the power of the Holy Spirit that he wants to fill you with. But the moment you say, I accept Jesus as my Savior, the moment you come so close. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians, you who were far off are brought near. Right? You're brought near. I can't tell you the night I got saved. I got out of the boat. I was in Norfolk Broads. And I looked at the sky. And before I looked out the sky, yeah, sky. The night I got saved, I looked at the sky and said, God, you made this. I can't tell you how I knew. But I knew that I knew that I knew. When my mates came round and said, are we off again? I was a skinhead. Are we off? Usual. Let's go and find some foreigners and beat them up. We're going to have some fun, get drunk. Let's do all the stuff. Oh, new nature. I can't do that anymore. Oh, there's still struggles in that old nature. Go on, you know you liked her. No, because the power that I experienced when I was filled with the Holy Spirit says I can say no to sin. Amen. I can say no to sin. Don't have to go down that route any longer. So, God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. So, I didn't get to my third point, but I'll just read it to you. You see, my first point was, only come close to God when you understand what separated you. When you understand what separated you, then you can come close to God because of what Jesus has done. But that's not his ultimate purpose. His ultimate purpose is to come by the Holy Spirit and live in you. Is he living in you today? Is he living in you? Paul says to the believers in Ephesus, he says, you are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Wow. If any man, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who didn't hold your sins against you, but cries out this great message to every person. Be reconciled to God. Be restored to what God intended. Begin to experience what Adam knew, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why I love to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I thank God. The night I was prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, I was baptized in the Spirit and I spoke in other tongues. And I didn't just speak for a couple of minutes, I spoke for 5 hours. 5 hours. And I can't explain to you. I don't know how to explain that. Drugs can't do it, booze can't do it. But this was liquid love. This was life from another world that was actually transforming this sinful person into a place of residence for God. And he has never left me. He can do that for you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your great love for us, for your great plan for us. You don't want us to live in darkness. You don't want us to live in death and its fear. You want us to reconnect through Jesus to the life of God by the Holy Spirit. And I ask you this morning that people who've never drawn close to you today will realize whatever sins we've committed, you can take them away. And that will bring us in to a new birth and a connecting to the life and power of the Holy Spirit, who will fill us every day. I ask, Lord, for any today who are hearing this, Holy Spirit, I ask you, take what I've said. Only you can bring people to life, not me. But I ask you that you'll do it. And that people will respond, not just to this, what I've spoken today, but more than anything else, to you. And begin that wonderful journey that says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.